This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
And welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. I'm your host, Toby Leary, and I am really excited to have in studio with us right now, Greg Winslow from If My People New England. Greg, how are you today?
Doing good, Toby. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And why don't you give our listeners a quick, you know, resume. What is it you do and why are you here?
Well, what we've been doing up here in New England for the past 4 years, we've been having large prayer gatherings across the New England area for repentance, for healing of the country. In the Bible, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. And so we see the healing of the land comes when God's people or the country calls out to God in praise and begins to bring God back into the country where he was a while back ago.
Yeah. You know, just you saying this reminds me of when our foundation of our country was happening and our founders were, you know, really coming to an impasse where they couldn't get traction. They couldn't all agree on something, and Benjamin Franklin actually stood up and said, hey, you know what? We need to pray. And he was a deist. He didn't even really believe in prayer per se as far as moving the needle, but he actually recognized that we need to pray, and this was a turning point for our country. And just in the first 2 hours of the show, I've talked a lot about the things going wrong in this country. And is it your belief that by us coming together in this type of an event that, and I'll let you talk about the event here in a second, but that's what will bring the change that's necessary for our country and bring people together instead of continually divide?
I do, Toby. And for 27 years, I was a missionary in Mexico. And when I lived in a town called Zihuatanejo, well, in around 2006, 2007, when Calderon became president, he declared war on the drug traffickers, which brought a full-blown bloodbath in Mexico, border to border. And in our city, we understood we're not going to get help from the government. We're not going to get it from the police. We're not going to get it from the military. So if we're going to get any help, we're going to have to come together as a unified church on the basis of birthright and begin to pray to God. And we did. We set aside a day, and we had a time where the people, the citizens, the church unified and called out to God. That night, the governor of Zihuatanejo accepted the Lord. He gave the keys of the city to the church. And immediately we saw the violence go down, and we had gruesome violence, stuff you would never think of doing to people. And so much so that people are saying, like, wow, there's not grenades and AK-47s going off everywhere all the time now. We were able to push back the violence because we came together on a unified front to pray. And we've been doing that here in New England for the past 4 years, calling the church together on the basis of birthright, not on the basis of denomination, where it doesn't matter if you're Baptist or Assembly of God or Pentecostal or this, that. It matters that you are a believer in God. You believe our hope is in God. And by coming together and praying and doing what that verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, humbling ourselves, means we've done something wrong. We've ignored God. We've put God to the side and tried to let our money and our wisdom and all these things fix what's breaking down. And the news this week shows us we are in desperate need of God coming back into this country, and he's not going to come in because we think he's going to come in or we want him to. He's going to come in by inviting him back in, by doing what corresponds to us to get him back in, which is humbling ourselves and praying.
And, you know, I think about when Ronald Reagan used to give his speeches about, you know, America is the shining city on the hill. And, you know, that was a metaphor or a parallel of scripture, the words that Jesus spoke even. And, you know, it's funny. I do this show here. We talk politics and guns and now religion. It's like, you know, I've completed the trifecta. Well, you'll get you uninvited to next year's Thanksgiving meal, right? You know, but I do think it's important. And Ronald Reagan actually honed in on something that he did believe that the American people were inherently good. And I believe that, you know, the American people do inherently believe in God and believe that, you know, through prayer, we can see changes. And I went to the event, you know, you call yourself If My People America. I went to the event that you hosted last fall in Plymouth at the Founding Fathers Memorial. And I joked with Jared and Taylor before the show today that I had grown up on Cape Cod, gone to Plymouth Rock a million times, been to Plymouth Plantation on every school, you know, field trip, but no one had ever even told me about the Four Founders Monument or the Founding Fathers Monument. And I went there and I saw this and it was incredible. And the event that you held was pretty special. Kirk Cameron was there and a bunch of other people. It was Navajo tribe and, you know, a lot of people who were, you know, pilgrims or descendants of the pilgrims, as well as Native Americans, all coming together to pray for the soundness of our country, which was really an amazing time of healing. And I thought it was great. And so what you have an event coming up pretty soon why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Just to make reference to that event that we did at the National Monument to the Forefathers, we had descendants from the Mayflower and we had First Nation people and we had them interlock arms as a sign of healing as we prayed for them. And I'm not usually one who's like, oh, the presence of God was so thick, but I almost fell flat on my face. It was dizzying because there was healing taking place. And we did that when we did an event at the SNHU arena as well regarding any type of racism that would happen or could happen in the country, whether it be against Jewish people, African-American people, women, white, black, the whole gamut. And so this idea of healing really breaks bonds that have we think nothing of, but really mark society and the things going on in the country. So this year we're heading to Gettysburg. You know, to my shame, I didn't know a lot of Civil War history. I didn't know a lot of Plymouth history, and so we're learning it. But we're going to Gettysburg, and Gettysburg was the turning point in the Civil War that either, you can look at it this way, it either changed the course that things were going, which was division, or it held it together so it did not divide. But things that happened in Gettysburg changed the course of the country, and that's what we're doing. We're gathering people in Gettysburg. It's a national event in Gettysburg. It's not a Gettysburg event for Gettysburg. It's a national event. It's for the country, for God to heal the country in Gettysburg. And the same thing, we want to gather descendants of the North and descendants of the South and interlock arms and heal that brother against brother divide that has been in this country since the Civil War.
So obviously the country has never been as divided in my lifetime as it is now. You know, you see that going, just open up a Facebook post and you'll see that, you know, the country is very divided. And people have actually uttered the words civil war, you know, like that we're being driven to the brink of civil war. It's almost, you know, that is the rhetoric that's been spouted. And I certainly don't advocate that. And that would be a horrible time. And I don't think we're quite there, but and I don't think that's imminent. But I find it interesting that, you know, you'll be standing on the battlefield, and I'm going to try to go to this event. I'd like to go and attend, but standing on the battlefield of where so many Americans did lose their life from, you know, Civil War, and maybe it is a harbinger of what could come again if we don't repent.
We have to change our tactic.
Yeah.
Or the result could be the same. You know, June 30th was the last normal day in Gettysburg history. Then on July 1st. All hell broke loose, 50,000 dead people by the 4th of July. And it was just nobody to bury the dead. There were rotten corpses all over. There were people who needed, there was hundreds of people in the hospital that were not getting attended to because of the amount of wounded on the field. And it was just a flesh-rotting mess in Gettysburg. I don't think we think of that often when we think of Gettysburg. An interesting thing, Toby, when Abraham Lincoln gave the Gettysburg Address, he said, "This country will experience a new birth of freedom." He said that in the middle of a negative time, a negative war, thousands dying by the year, and yet he almost said, "I'm gonna see beyond this mess and believe the country will react, come together, and be healed from all this." And I believe we're still seeing the healing from that even now. But the idea of this event is, let's bring some healing to the country where we can come together and pray.
Well, you have the last word on that. Thank you, Greg. And how can people reach you if they want to come to this event?
So they can go to our website, which is ifmypeoplene.org, or Hidden Manna Ministries, plural, hiddenmannaministries.org. They both go to the same website, and there's information there. July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, we're going to be in Gettysburg. No, it's July 4th weekend, but you know what? We're going to have to lay something down sooner or later.
Amen to that. All right, ifmypeoplene.org. Thanks for coming on the show, Greg. And we will be right back. You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. More after this.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Who's better than Grace Curley?
Nobody. Nobody. Nobody.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
And welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. I'm your guest host, Toby Leary, sitting in for Grace, who will be back tomorrow. Hopefully you guys are having a wonderful Memorial Day. And thank you again to all those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. And you know, one of the things I want to thank Greg Winslow for coming on and, you know, speak very highly of the event that he puts on. And I it was really cool to see the unity and the coming together for healing that at these events that he puts on. And it really is amazing and seeing how that plays out and hoping and praying for real change in the unity of this country, because I think we need it. We're at the point where, you know, people are constantly being divided and polarized. And I know we talk a lot about the negativity around politics and society in general, but it's nice and it's a breath of fresh air to have the positive and hopeful and prayerful optimism of that Greg brings to the table, and those events that he puts on, I think, are definitely moving the needle. One of the things that I wanted to talk about, and it's been in the stack of stuff all day that we hadn't really talked about yet, is, you know, we have these, it's amazing to me that the media doesn't mention it other than a cursory pass, but we have this Michael Sussman trial going on. You know, John Durham indicted him a while back, and now the trial is taking place, and it actually, I think, is wrapped up, and it might even be in the hands of the jury. And, you know, you got to really dig. And if you're on the internet, you can find some stuff. But if you're looking at mainstream media, it's crickets. It's absolute crickets. But yet they're still talking about, you know, the attorney general in New York going after the Trump administration for taxes or whatever it is, you know, that whatever her dog and pony show of the month is. And the amazing thing is you very rarely hear anything about the Sussman trial and media coverage. I know when it was first starting up, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, and MSNBC covered it for a grand total of 0 seconds, which is amazing because this is the highest level of corruption in the Clinton, Clinton campaign. And to not give any time or, you know, I think is just unbelievably telling of what the plan is. You know, the bullhorn of the Democratic Party is the media, and they have them in their pocket. They don't have to pay for their, you know, campaign message, if you will. And it's amazing that anybody who's conservative or opposes the Democratic Party has, you know, wins at all with, if you think about the main bullhorn of the left is the media. So they've been bombarded time and time again. But one of the most interesting things in the trial I found was Robbie Mook, who testified that Hillary Clinton was, in fact, personally involved and signed off on the dissemination of the bogus Trump collusion hoax known as the dossier that came out. And so he said, yes, Hillary was personally approved it. They personally approved the hiring of these agents to come up and print out this dossier. But then it takes a more sinister application when you look at Michael Sussman's role in all of this, where he's the one who gave the information to the FBI and said he didn't represent a client. He's acting alone. He has no dog in this fight. He just wants to give the FBI a heads up. So he calls James Baker, and James Baker says, yeah, I'll come hear you. Come on into the FBI building or DOJ, whatever it was, and I'll hear all about it. But if he had said, hey, I'm from the Hillary campaign, we got this evidence and we want to show it to you, he still would have heard him, but he would have looked at it in different light. But because he said, hey, I am acting alone, I'm just good citizen Michael Sussman here, and I want to give you the heads up about some stuff that's, you know, happened. And the irony of ironies, and Margaret, I'll get to you if there's time here, but the irony of ironies is, to me, the fact that he buys two flash drives at a Walgreens and submits the receipt to the Hillary Clinton campaign for like $12. And that's probably going to be why he goes to jail, because of the $12 receipt he submits to the Hillary Clinton campaign for reimbursement to submit the evidence. It's unbelievable. It's time for the poll question, right? I'm sorry I forgot that, but today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need a visit from Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. Call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Are you planning to see 2,000 mules? Yes, I am. Not planning to or already seen it.
I am. So what are the results?
63% say, yes, I am planning to see it. 22% say they've already seen it. And 15% are not planning to see 2,000 mules.
Well, I bet that poll will warm the cockles of True the Vote's heart and Dinesh D'Souza, because he knows there's still some money to be made by doing this video. So hopefully.
Well, we talked about this ahead of time. And you know, I had a friend who was talking to me, and they tend to lean more liberal, and they're like, so how can you really think that the election was stolen? And I'm like, because I've been presented with so much evidence.
Show me how it wasn't.
And the only counter argument is, no, come on. Right. We didn't do that.
You can't believe your lying eyes, Jared. Yep. All right. We will be back after this. The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
And welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I'm glad you're here with us on this Memorial Day, and hopefully you had a day off where you could barbecue with the family and think about all those who paid the price for our freedom here in America. And I know Taylor's probably going to have some really good cuts of what Joe Biden thinks of those freedoms are, right? It was another rough day at the stump for the president. But anyway, as promised, Margaret, go ahead. You're next on the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, happy Memorial Day.
Thank you, Margaret. You too.
You know, I'm so glad you're talking about this. Thank you very much. I'll tell you why about Hillary and all that, because they try to cover up every bad thing that she does. They cover up all the what President Biden is doing with China and all that. They will not discuss it. So the Republicans, we got to speak up somehow and keep it to the forefront, because I know I do.
Yeah. I think
that's just like...
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
That's just like, well, Pelosi's husband getting 82-year-old man in a Porsche. Do you know he got into an accident, too? Mm.
I did read that, yes. But it's a little slow to leak out.
He got T-boned, and he was in a Porsche.
Jeez. You know, in all fairness to him, I think I would be a raging alcoholic if I was married to Nancy Pelosi. But all kidding aside, I agree with you, Margaret. We have to keep the feet to the fire. I feel one of the best ways to do that is, like the poll question says, are you going to watch 2,000 Mules? And, you know, it's easy to have preconceived notions or go into things with presuppositions and have your mind already made up. In this day and age, that's pretty much where everybody is, right? We're all kind of believe what we believe, and it takes a lot to kind of hear or open our ears and our eyes and hear rational thought from another opposing view. And I myself included, you know, we're probably all a little bit slow to change, a little bit slow to listen and ponder things. But I think that's really what made America great for so long, was the fact that we did have so many, it was the great melting pot. We had so many different ideas and beliefs and, you know, people coming together and talking things through. And that's what made universities great. It was the place where you went to get the other side of the argument, so to speak, or maybe some alternative views. Or that's what, you know, a lot of the whole movement in the 60s and 70s was about, even rebellion to that, which I'm not saying is great. But now it's flipped so that they don't even want the opposing views talked about on college campuses. It's amazing. And they're like, oh no, this is, you know, we're going to blot out any conservative voice. It is now become a you know, left-wing echo chamber on these college campuses. And you have tenured professors that, you know, can say whatever they want and do whatever they want and then, you know, suppress any dissenting opinions. And some people are even made to feel, you know, like they're not welcome because of the way they believe. And so for conservative people to have a voice in this day and age, you're not going to have a voice through the mainstream media. You're not going to have a voice in, you know, academia. You're not going to have a voice if you have, if you live in a state like Massachusetts, where it's not even close to a purple state, but it's pretty soundly a blue state. But I do believe that the majority of Americans believe in their constitutional rights, the right to keep and bear arms, the right to freedom of speech, the right to freedom of assembly, the right to freedom of religion, the right to not have your, you know, illegal searches and seizures, the Fourth Amendment, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, because of that, that's the one finger in the dam, if you will, of this whole ruling class collapsing onto the peasantry, if you will. People still are free, and we're the ones with the power as the people. It's we the people. It's not what will the politicians let us do. And that's one reason I think that, you know, we didn't see quite the level of lockdowns that Australia and Canada and some of the other countries, China, et cetera, all had. Those levels of lockdown, we didn't see that. And was it bad? Yes. And hopefully it'll never be repeated because people have woken up. But anyway, John in Vermont is next on the Grace Curley Show. How are you, John?
I'm well, Toby, and happy Memorial Day. Mm-hmm. The reason I'm calling is, have you explored the Buffalo shooter's manifesto that he left behind at all?
I didn't read it. I have not seen it, but I knew it existed.
All right. So here's what I heard on another talk show, is that somebody who did read it said that this Buffalo shooter did a lot of detailed research. He was 200 miles, his home was 200 miles, I guess, southeast of Buffalo. So he found that the apparently license to carry in New York is about $200. So he chose Buffalo because of a really poor area, assuming that most people wouldn't bother getting the license to carry, so he wouldn't, number one, be shot back at.
Right.
Number two, he chose the AR-15 because he wanted to get the biggest bang for the buck in the newspapers, and obviously he did. And then number three, he apparently was working ahead thinking, well, I'm going to perform this crime in New York State because New York State has eliminated the death penalty. So he was hoping, you know, to keep himself alive, chose the AR-15 because of the publicity, and then also chose a poor area of Buffalo thinking that very few people would pay the $200 to get the license to carry, so they got a chance of not having a lot of people shoot back at him at the grocery store.
Yeah. I think, and I did read some excerpts of it, and there were some, one that a friend actually posted on their Facebook page, where it talked specifically along the lines of what you're saying, and he said that the fact that New York has high, you know, gun control, it's a very gun-controlled area, so like you said, they're less likely to be actually carrying a gun, and the ones that do have guns are going to be hampered by capacity and have guns that are also, his words were an expletive, but the firearm would be neutered for, to clean it up a little bit, if they did respond, and he would have the upper hand. So yeah, you're 100% right that he sought that out and he chose that out. And that shows the level of evil that, you know, these people who are, have in their hearts, that they're willing to go and attack, in their minds, the least able to defend themselves. And that is a, it's very indicative of how, you know, we need to put measures in place, i.e. start issuing license to carry for not $200 so that more people are armed that could help in this situation. And now, he wore body armor. He was confronted by a retired police officer who must not have recognized that he was wearing body armor and engaged him. And he did end up killing that retired police officer. So, you know, there's, it, with every time something like this happens, tactics sometimes change. You know, in, new information comes to light. We have to change or talk about different ways of countering these measures. And the same thing happens when you look, you know, at terrorism. Like, they took down planes into the World Trade Centers, and then, okay, we need to harden the cockpit door, right? Then a few months later, then guy tried to blow up a plane with a shoe bomb. Now we got to take our shoes off when we go to the, you know, x-ray line. And so the point is, they harden the cockpit doors. But for some reason, after every mass shooting event, we get fixated on the tool or the implement, and we don't say, how did the problem happen in the first place? And was this guy compliant with any laws? No, he was breaking every law. He was using a high capacity magazine. He was wearing body armor in the commission of a crime, which is against the law. He was traveling to a place where people would be less likely to defend themselves, in his assumption, a poor community. And so, you know, same thing with school shooters. They're going to where they have a target-rich environment, knowing that they will not be met with, you know, a resistance. You don't ever see mass shooters going to the local gun club. Why? Because they know it's going to end pretty quick. And that's just the state of the matter. They only care about body count. And again, I hate to keep harping on this, but the gun-free zone is the most dangerous place in the world. And, you know, it just points to high gun control. You can look at this throughout the entire country. Highly gun controlled and highly Democratic run cities are some of the most dangerous places in America. You got Chicago, you got St. Louis, you got Atlanta, you got Washington, D.C., the number one area for high crime and gun violence in America. And it is a extremely restricted, highly gun controlled area. So that's where, you know, it used to be you could buy the bumper sticker, but criminals prefer unarmed victims. And there's no question about it. They don't go after the strong. They prey on the weak because it shows how cowardly they really are. And unfortunately, that's the day and age we live in. So I can only urge you to get training and be as proficient with a firearm as possible. That's my advice. And protect yourself and really start to get competent training. Seek it out and urge the schools to look at Southwestern High School in Shelby County, Indiana. And that is the gold standard for what every school should be. It doesn't look like a prison, but yet it is the most secure school in America. Go ahead and Google that. Shelby County, Indiana, the Southwestern High School. So, that's the gold standard, in my opinion. And like I said, $6 million for a football field, you can scratch up a couple hundred grand to harden the target. So that's my opinion of the matter anyway. I'm not in any position of power to implement it, or I would have done it a long time ago. All right, more after this. We're going to have the car crossover with Taylor after this. So you don't want to go away. You're going to get the precursor to what is to come. All right, more after this. Thanks so much, Toby Leary, for Grace Curley. We'll be right back.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. She's got the voice of an angel.
I've been called the songbird of my generation, of people who've heard me.
It's Grace Curley.
And welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Toby Leary here on the last segment of the day on this beautiful Memorial Day. And we have the car crossover. And I guess there's two of us sitting in for the respective radio host, so me for Grace and Taylor for Howie Carr. So
great to be here, Toby.
Well, I appreciate you, Taylor, and all the work you do for
me.
We
don't have to make this the last segment. You can do the next 16 segments if you want.
Yeah, I think I have that barbecue to get to.
Oh,
unfortunately,
sure. Okay, yeah. But
places to go and people to see, and
I'll go to that for you.
That's right. I don't think my bag of rocks voice would would make it through the next 4 hours. But anyway, I'm sure you got plenty to talk about.
Do you have a nameplate, Toby, bag of rocks, Leary?
I need to get one of those. Yeah. I think it's time. You know, I think at least I've hosted the show enough now that would be the one area I would value. Maybe a name plaque on the entry to my door.
For those that don't know, that was a piece of hate mail that came in for Toby after he guest shot for Grace one day. That was funny.
This guy's voice sounds like a bag of rocks. And I can almost picture the sound of the guy who actually made it. Probably didn't sound much better than me. I bet he doesn't have one of those golden voices for radio. But then again, how do I know? Anyway, so you got some good stuff for us, I'm sure.
Oh, gosh. The president left us so much material from over the weekend. I'm not going to do an entire clip show like Howie does sometimes. People get sick of that real quick. But I've picked out some of the best. Going to get into a little bit. I mean, there has been no event recently that he's been to where he hasn't invoked the name Beau Biden. Mm. And it's sickening at this point. It really is. I can see, you know, why you'd want to keep mentioning his name, keep his name alive, but it's really just trotting it out for points at this point, isn't it?
You know, I probably could go on another 4 hours on that type of subject matter, but one of the things in my stack that I didn't get to was the tweet that Obama had.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
You know, this terrible shooting in Uvalde, and, you know, this message is brought to you by, don't forget George Floyd, you know, it's like, oh my gosh.
Well, we also mourn the lives of those lost in Uvalde. We also want to mention George Floyd.
Don't forget about him now.
Yeah.
2 years ago.
It's unbelievable, but
yeah. Well, read the room. I mean, so many of these guys, they just there's no self reflection or self awareness at all. Mm. They say these things, and they have no idea what's going on in people's minds at that time.
And then you got Beto the heckler, you know, at the press conference where he stands up and, you know, heckles the governor, the lieutenant governor, and the mayor.
Well, and that was staged too, obviously. Oh, well, but he had seats saved inside the auditorium for him and his henchmen, I guess if you can call them that. But yeah, it was totally staged.
That had to be, you know, the fall under the no news is bad news category for him running for governor, I'm sure.
All these Democrats, they smell blood in the water because they have a 79-year-old commander-in-chief who acts like he's 99.
Right.
And so they think they can get another shot. So maybe Beto's, you know, kind of getting his name out there again, laying the groundwork for
by
a 2024
any means
run.
Necessary.
Yeah, by any means necessary, exactly.
Holy cow.
By the way, once you're commissioned, remember, I'm your commander-in-chief.
Oh, painful.
Just creepy.
It really is. And, you know, every day I wake up and I go, when does this nightmare end? Is this really happening? Is this really happening? Like, every day it gets worse.
So here's a question. How is business affected for you if Joe Biden outlaws 9mm?
Oh, my gosh. You know,
what?
Obama held the position of the gun salesman of the century, right? And then Joe Biden said, hold my beer.
Mm-hmm.
And he has, you know, the last 2 years especially, but the last year even, has broken every record known to man, because all they want to do is take it away from the people who aren't the problem and that actually do follow law, because they're afraid that their lives will be changed forever if they can't, you know, if they don't comply. But the bottom line is, you know, they all they do is cause people to go out and panic buy, which is unfortunate, but it's a reality. You know, if you feel like you're not going to be able to have it, then you're going to go out and get it, unfortunately. Yep. But anyway, well, we look forward to a great show. Taylor, I'm going to listen to you on the drive home. And I appreciate you guys having me in. And Grace Curley will be back tomorrow. So thanks so much. Until next time, I'm Toby Leary.